Welcome to the South Card Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Good evening, everyone. This is South Cards, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This TNT Open Forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cards organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcards.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcards.com. Your NCSs for this session are November 1, Sierra Uniform Zulu. My name is Suzanne, and I am located in Danbury, Connecticut, where it is a cool 39 degrees Fahrenheit here. And Jim, KJ4WKD, who is located in Greensboro, North Carolina, where it's probably even colder. Tonight's TNT is entitled All About QSLing, from A to Z, and I will be joined tonight by Jim, and together we plan to cover the subject as thoroughly as possible, as well as bring you aboard to share your thoughts and comments, and we hope that you will enjoy. So, QSLing, how do we do it, why do we do it, and what to do when we are doing it? Tonight we'll be discussing the QSL process A to Z, as I said. Do you QSL your contacts? Do you like the tried and true paper or pasteboard method? Or have you moved into the electronic age using the internet to confirm your contacts? What is a QSL anyway? We all know what it means when we say QSL or QSL, but how does that translate to exchanging information and confirmations off the air? Simply put, a QSL postcard through the mail or even an electronic posting over the internet is still nothing more than a confirmation or acknowledgement. And in most cases, it is the confirmation of the actual contact, or even confirmation that a station was heard on a given date at a given time. It appears that the practice began in 1916 when the first known QSL postcard was mailed from Buffalo, New York to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A standardized QSL postcard containing information similar to that which we use today is thought to have originated in the U.S. in 1919 with C.D. Hoffman, 8UX, when he sent a QSL card from Akron, Ohio. The first European card is thought to have been sent by W.E.F. Bill Corsham, 2UV, operating from England. Since the paper QSL cards are so much a part of our heritage as hams, we want to talk a lot tonight about them, the information that they carry front and back, and how they're used and when. We'll also want to cover the newer internet methods, but now, let's stir the pot a little early and ask if you would like to use QSL cards. Do you use them, and which do you like best? Let me call for anybody who'd like to make a comment on QSLs before we start the program. Which do you like best, paper or electronic? Please come aboard now if you'd like to make a comment. With your suffix only, please. Okay, well, let's move on. And let me bring Jim, KJ4WKD, aboard. And let's have him start our topic for tonight, talking about paper QSL cards first. Jim, KJ4WKD, come on aboard.
Thanks, Susie. Good to be here tonight. This is a fun topic for me. I know it is for you, and probably a lot of our stations connected tonight. So let's talk about paper QSL cards first. What kinds of information should they contain, and how should they be formatted? Well, first, let's look at the front of a card. And although some cards show everything only on the front with a blank back for either an address for mailing or a place to write a message, most often it's you have two sides. And much of the front is optional and a personal preference, but the card should always show your call sign and location. Along with that, you might perhaps want to add your grid number and even the county that you're located in. Also, any awards you've earned and what clubs or organizations you might be affiliated with. your full mailing address for the return card. That's the way you want to advise the other person how to send it back to you. It's usually on the reverse, but it can be on the front as well. Let me reset for a moment. There we go. If you have multiple operators, such as a special event station, when your club is doing it, or more than one person, you can have the names and call signs of the individual operators on the front with a checkoff box for each one. So you can identify each operator who worked at station. And this information can be on a blank background, or your background can be a personal photo or colorful design. You can either purchase generic cards from a printer, or you may want to design your own. You can have those printed, or even do them yourself on your own computer and printer. Free's always good. One free online source for making your own QSO cards is Radio QTH, or www.radioqth.net/QSL.ASPX. You may supply your own photos or artwork to them, or use stock symbols and artwork such as U.S. silhouettes, state silhouettes, outlines of the state, or country flags. I have a couple of different QSL cards. One is a stock image from printer with my call sign on the front. But I also have a QSL card with a photo that I took with my name, call sign, and QTH info on the front. So pretty much any way you want to do it. And with that, let's drop it one more time, because I know this is good. It should be getting interesting to a lot of guys out there. Do we have any comments or suggestions about personalizing QSL cards? What would you like to have on the front of your card, or what do you have on the front of your card? Did you design your own, or did you do like the ones I usually use, which is I designed it, but I picked out stock images, and that's the cheaper ones I use. So how did you do yours, and what do you like best? Open the floor again for any check-ins, any stations connected who want to talk about designing a QSL card and personalizing the QSL card. This is KJ4WKD. Okay, our participating stations tonight are a little quiet. So with that, KJ4WKD back again with the TNT Open Forum, talking about all about QSL cards, A to Z. And let's go now, and we'll move along, and we'll send it back to Susie in 1SUZ to talk about the back of the card. Susie?
Well, thank you, Jim. This is N1SUZ Suzanne. And, before I get to the back of the card, I'd like to just say that I like the stuff on the front of the card. I like a photo on the front of the card, usually my own photo, and I've had them a couple different ways. The special events that I've been involved in usually have operators with check marks on the front, like you said. But I like having my own photo on the front. And I have one for winter, and I have one for summer, too. So and my cards just have my city and state and name and call sign on the front. And then all the rest of the information is on the back. And that's what we're going to talk about next. So back of the card. This is a little bit more complicated. Back of the card has a lot more information that you really need to put on there. I still like to have my call sign on the back, along with my name and address, but you'll need to have a place to write or designate a place to fill in a little bit more of information. First, you want the call of the station you contacted, some place to put that. You want a spot to put the date of the contact, written, day, month, and year, and that's to comply with most countries. Sometimes there's a little bit of confusion about how to write that date. A lot of American U.S. stations write month, day, and year, just like we write a lot of our, sign our checks or write our checks out, but the European way is generally day, month, and year. And I've decided, along with Jim, KJ4WKD, that we would write the date numerically, write out the month alphabetically and then the year, because that way if you write out the month, you will not make any mistakes later on when the person looks at them. I eliminate the confusion by writing the date that way. Now another thing, be sure the date is in the UTC date. Now what is the UTC date? The UTC date, or the Coordinated Universal Time, is the date that corresponds to the UTC time. This often causes a bit of confusion, especially when the UTC date is different from the local date. When it becomes 0000 UTC time, the day momentarily changes to the next day. For example, if you are on the Eastern time zone, the UTC time is 5 hours ahead of local time. So, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is 0000 UTC time, and then it becomes the next day. Right now, the UTC time in Danbury, Connecticut is 0012, and the date is 11/18 on Friday. A little confusing there. The next thing you need to do is write your frequency or band that you're on. And I like to put the whole frequency on there, not just 14 or 20 meters. I like to put the 14.128 or whatever it is. Then you want to put the mode of transmission, single sideband, CW, AM, whatever it is, you need to put that on there as well. Next is the RST. That's your station's readability, signal strength, and tone for CW. You just need readability and signal strength for regular single sideband, which would be a 5.9, a 5.8, a 4.8, and this is for the station you contacted. I like to write both what I received and what I'm sending on my cards. Next, you need a request on the bottom there for QSL if you want one back, or write a little thanks for a QSL received. And last but not least, you need a message area to write a personal note. Some optional information: your station, what kind of radio you have, what kind of antenna you have, how high is your antenna, do you have an amp, or are you running barefoot, which means no amp. You might want to consider putting the county you're in and the grid location, because there are some contests and people who go after particular counties and grids. So that's basically what you need on a QSL card. Let me review the essentials of your QSL cards now. Your call sign, the other station's call sign, the date and time and UTC time, your signal report, and your mode of transmission, and frequency and band. Let me break it here and throw it out to the floor for anybody who would like to make any comments or ask any questions about what needs to be on a QSL card.
WKD.
On a QSL card. So now that we've got our QSL card made and we have it filled out, what do we do with it now? Well, basically, there are four ways to send a QSL card. You can send it direct through a bureau, a QSL manager, or you can send it electronically. Let me break here, and let me ask Jim. Jim, I think you wanted to come aboard for a second. I think I doubled with you. Come on aboard.
Yes, you did. I doubled with everyone, Susie. I did hear you say you, as an example, you fill out a QSL card that with frequency 14.128. You know, we're going to have a program on official observers on Sunday on the RegTube. Hope nobody was listening. Hi, hi. And let me ask you a serious question, Susie. I've almost forgotten. I think I have totally forgotten what my question was. I know. I remember now. The signal report. You want to give the RST. What is that? Can you tell us what the RST actually is in a signal report?
Well, I sure can, Jim. This is N1SUZ. And first of all, I personally would not be on frequency 14.128. I would be starting on frequency 14.228. So, because I only can operate in the general band and would never operate outside my legal limits. But other than that, the signal report, the RST, which stands for readability, signal strength, and tone for CW. And since most of us here, I guess, are just single sideband people, let me just talk about the RS right for the moment. First of all, the readability. How well can you read that person? Are they coming through clear enough? Is the signal coming well? Can you understand what they're saying? Readability. That's basically a judgment call for you. Five is means that you can perfectly understand the person on the other end. Signal strength. A lot of people look at their S meter on their radios to see where the signal strength is going. Signal strength could all go up to a 9. You know, if you can't really hear them, if there's a lot of QR Mary behind them, your signal strength will be probably lower, possibly. But it's where your SWR meter is going. And a lot of times you'll be a 5.9 plus 10 over if you can really understand the person and hear them perfectly clear. And I always like getting a 5.9 myself. And the T, or the tone for CW, is the tone of the intonation of what's coming through in CW. Of course, you're only listening to dits and dahs, but the tone, is it a good tone? Can you understand? Well, can you hear it well? That's really what the RST stands for. And I hope that answers your question, Jim. Does it?
I believe that it does. And, yeah, readability is up to a 5. The signal strength, as we know, in the S meter goes to a 9 and maybe a 10 or 20 dB over or more. And the tone goes up, I believe, to a 9 as well. And just teasing about transmitting out of band, Susie. Back to you.
Well, thanks, Jim. Yes, I know we never operate out of band, and or else we'll get one of those pink slips that we're going to talk about on Sunday in the Rag Chew. So everybody tune in for the Rag Chew on Sunday and talk about if you've ever gotten one of those pink slips. But getting back to QSLing, and we're talking about the ways to send those QSL cards. So as I said, there's basically four ways to send your QSL cards. You can send them direct, through the bureau, through a QSL manager, or electronically. All right, let's first talk about direct. This is when you send your QSL card right to the person you made the contact with. First, we need to find out where to send the card, and then we need to find out the courtesies of sending the card. The easiest way to find out the address of the station you just contacted is to find them on QRZ.com. I think most people use QRZ, and that's what I do too. So I'll click on QRZ.com, and then I'll enter in the call sign in the little box, search for them, and up 9 out of 10 times pops the mailing address. If it doesn't come up, there are other ways to find out where that person is. You can go right to the FCC website and look up a call sign, and there's also hamcall.com, I believe it is, where you can also look up other call signs. Some people don't like QRZ. I don't know why, but there are some people who don't list on QRZ. But everybody who has a call sign has a mailing address with the FCC in this country. QRZ should have the mailing address plus any preferred QSL methods listed. The person will probably tell you whether they want a self-addressed stamped envelope, greenbacks if it's a foreign station, which refers to U.S. dollars, or IRCs, which are international return coupons. For U.S. contacts, a self-addressed stamped envelope is a courtesy. A lot of times they don't ask for them. I mean, I don't ask for it on my site because basically if someone sends me one for a contact, I'm going to send them for a one. But if it's a contact that you need for your work all states or something very important or just as a courtesy, you can send them a self-addressed stamped envelope. For special event stations, though, or for club stations that you contacted, you might want to enclose a donation, even if they don't list it on their website. Most of the times they will list that they need you to send in a dollar for the card or something like that with a self-addressed stamped envelope. But if they don't list that, you might want to enclose a donation of a dollar or two to cover the cost of the QSL card. Now, for DX contacts, I always send an addressed envelope. I usually send a European mailer, which is a little different than our regular U.S. mailers. They're a little bigger and a little wider, so that they'll fit a little bit larger than the postcard size. And greenbacks or U.S. dollars, they usually ask for $2 or for an IRC. Now postage is going up in January, so that may increase. And the IRCs, that might be a little problem there. But what's an IRC, you may ask? An IRC is an international reply coupon. It's a coupon you can buy at the U.S. Post Office that the DX station exchanges for a return stamp. The cost of an IRC is a little over $2, and a lot of post offices don't know too much about how to sell them. Just make sure that if you're going to buy one, first of all, that they have the newest version of the IRC. Just ask them that. And then they need to put the date of today's date or whatever day you buy it. They have a stamp for that, and they need to put that in the right-hand side of the area in the IRC on the front. That shows that you paid for it. So let me throw it out to the floor now and take a break here and see if anyone has any questions or comments on QSLing or the ways to send a QSL. If you do, come on aboard with your suffix now, please. Okay, everybody is really quiet out there tonight. But that's all right, because QSLing is an interesting topic, and we'll be talking about it anyway. Even if no one else wants to talk about it, we're going to be talking about it. So let me throw the floor back to Jim, KJ4WKD, and he's going to go over the next step and the next way of sending your QSL cards out. Jim, come on aboard.
Thank you. N1SUZ, KJ4WKD, returning. And a lot of great information there. That's some things that seem really esoteric when you first start the QSL, especially with DX stations. And a lot of different things going on there. You've IRCs, green stamps, they call them, and the things you need to do. And it's gets a little tedious, and you want to be sure if you're going to do that, you do it right so you can get your card back. And I found during my reading that IRCs, I believe, are falling out of favor in some of the DX countries now because changes in postage rates there and some of the regulations. But still, there are lots of ways you can send money. Just because they require it many times and as a courtesy as well. But let's go to another method you can use, and this is if you really do want to avoid all of that expense in obtaining the QSL card, especially from a DX station, and avoid the expense of sending direct, you might elect to use a QSL bureau. Now, what is a QSL bureau? Here in the United States, the most popular one is the one that's managed by the AARRL, the outgoing QSL bureau that they run. The QSL bureau is actually a clearinghouse, and they will forward your cards to the designated stations in bulk. As you can, and you can actually send the cards to the bureau in bulk as well and save some postage. The way this process works is by networking the local QSL bureau to the incoming bureau of the station's respective country. Here in this country, in the United States, where most of us are, and we have some Canadians here tonight, it's a similar process, and it is a similar process in other countries, You and I in the U.S. would provide our incoming bureau with a number of envelopes with our address already imprinted on them or handwritten on them, and also the appropriate postage, depending on how many cards you'd like to be put into your envelope and have forwarded back to you. If you want a whole stack of them, you want to put more postage on, but if you want them to come back a little sooner, you'll just put enough postage to maybe get 10 of them back. Let me drop Okay. When the Bureau has accumulated enough cards to fill an envelope that you had sent in, they will forward the envelope. And in this case, if you're using the Bureau, that's probably going to be posthumously back to you or another recipient. And sooner or later, it'll come back, and you'll probably be a silent key by that point. No, I guess what I'm saying here is that the bureaus can be a little slow, very, very slow in getting them back to you. And, of course, there's a lot of time that elapses while you're filling an envelope. So be prepared. Don't expect. Be patient. Just be patient when you're using the Bureau. Some bureaus, such as up there where you are, Susie, in one land, they don't use envelopes. They have what I think is really a better system. They ask for money. I think it's $5 to deposit in an account in your name, and that covers the cost of postage and the return envelopes and all of that. That seems like a much more convenient way to do it, and especially if you move, and then you got the envelopes up there with your old address. So makes more sense to me, and I really wish all of the other bureaus around the country would do that. You can find the incoming bureaus for your call sign. And by the way, let me make this clear. There's an outgoing bureau, and I use a lot of us do the ARRL. But you need to get you need to send your envelopes to an incoming bureau. And those apply to your call sign, whether you're a 2x3 or a 1x3 here in Foreland, and where you're located. For example, here in North Carolina, well, I'm not sure how far that stretches, but if you're a 2x3, you get your incoming bureau is in Sterling, Virginia. But if you're a 1x3 or an extra call sign, you will send your envelopes to Charlotte, and they will handle your incoming QSLs. You can find where your bureau is, where your incoming bureau is, by going to http://www.ARRL.org/incoming-qsl-service. Okay, that's a lot of information, especially from Susie. So let me break here and open the floor once again. I know that we're not going to go through a whole TNT open forum and not have some check-ins and some comments and even some questions. So any station out there who would like to join us tonight, discuss QSLing, please do so. This is KJ4WKD with a TNT open forum on the South Cars VOIP server.
Sierra United Zulu.
Okay, it's you and me, Susie. Come aboard with your comment.
Well, thank you, Jim. This is N1SUZ, and I just wanted to make a comment that in the incoming QSL service, the fourth call area, which is your call area, is the only one that has two separate places to send all those cards. So I wasn't really sure why that was. Is it do you think it's because that area is so large? I think at one time we had done some research about seeing where the most calls are from, and maybe that's the reason why. Do you have any idea, Jim? And I'll send it back to you. This is M1SUZ, back to Net Control, KJ4WKD, and I see that 6 Victor has a comment, too, when I'm done.
Okay. I didn't know that, and I'm guessing, as you presumed, that because it's really heavily populated with ham radio operators in the fourth land, that might be the reason. They just wanted to break up the workload. And when you Google that, Susie, did you discover anything about your area, the one area? And is that the only one that doesn't take envelopes and ask for a deposit in your account? Could that be the case there, too? Back to you, and then you can pick up KY6V.
Well, Jim, N1SUZ here. The second call area also only accepts what they call money credits. And I'm looking at all the other ones, and it seems to be that there's only money credits in the first call sign and in the second call sign, and everybody else is sends your envelopes to us, so which is nice. And also, besides the call areas 1 through 10, there's also a separate incoming bureau for Hawaii, Alaska, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, and shortwave listening stations as well. So, this is N1SUZ, and let me break with you, Jim, and let me pick up Six Victor. Gordon, come on aboard with your comment.
Hey, hi, Susie. Thank you. Hello, Jim. Gordon here, KY6V. I couldn't just let the two of you run this. As you know, I'm sort of busy in the background packing for the trip. We're moving out here tomorrow. But I didn't want to leave you on the vine, number one, and I had a couple of questions. You said that the postage is going up in January. What is it going up to? Question number one. How do you personally feel on question number two about working for the postal system as you do with the electronic transfer of QSL information? I don't want to put you on the spot, but it seems to me that that's the way things are moving. Over.
Well, Gordon, that's a really good question. This is N1SUZ. Postage is going to go up to a regular postage, a letter, is going to go up a penny to 45 cents. Postcards are going to go up 3 cents. Currently, they're 29 cents. They're going up to 32 cents. Letters to Canada and Mexico are going to increase a nickel to 85 cents. And letters to foreign countries, those foreign DX stations that we like to talk to, they're going up 7 cents to $1.05. Right now they're 98 cents. And that is going to put a burden on people who do a lot of QSLing out there. Personally, from a postal standpoint, all that revenue is really costing the post office a lot of money, but that is the way of the way of the land. And let me break it here for a second. This is N1SUZ for ID. And what's going to happen really is most people are going to probably go electronically. I personally love to get QSL cards in the mail. I love foreign stamps. I like the all sorts of things that go along with them, the envelopes, everything. So I find that to be fun. But I have started to use electronic QSLing, especially Logbook of the World, which confirms your QSOs in order to get awards. But I'm slowly going the electronic way, but that's the same way with digital. Thought I'd never get into digital cameras from film, but I did that too. So, Gordon, I hope that answers your question, did it? And thanks for joining us tonight. I know you're really busy in the background, but I'm glad you came aboard. Just want to send it back to you for a final, Gordon. This is N1SUZ, back to KY6D.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Susie. Everything's going up, so it's not only the postal system, so don't worry about that. Let me ask you a question. I've never dabbled with electronic QSLing. I know a lot of people have. Can you enlighten me just a little bit? Do you just get a notification that this contact has been made, or is it actually in a graphic QSL design? You know, a lot of people like to take these cards and hang them up on the wall. I can tell you that I've got several Stevedore crates full of the doggone things. you know, through the years. But if it comes, what I'm thinking out loud here and not knowing what I'm talking about, if it comes in an actual QSL graphic format, are there programs available to print that right off of your supplier that you've dialed into on the internet? run it off on cardstock so you can hang it on the wall? Go ahead, Susie, KY6V, over.
This is N1SUZ. Well, Gordon, that's a great question. And I'm going to give you the brief answer now, because a little later in the program we're going to go over a little bit of the electronic QSLing. But there are basically two programs that I've dealt with. EQSL, which is something that QRZ also attaches itself to. So if you're on QRZ, and you can see if people EQSL. That's that service, if you sign up for that service, they will notify you when somebody registers a contact with you, and you'll get that in your email. And when you go to the site, you actually see the design of the card, and you can print what's there out, but it'll only print on an 8.5 by 11 sheet. But what they do, how they make money, EQSL, is that they will print a card for you and send it to you for a nominal fee. So that's what they do. Logbook of the World, they don't have any electronic QSL cards. You just have electronic record of what you've done and what the other person has done too, the QSO and the contact. But yeah, most of the time you're not going to get anything at all. And that's the reason why I think that people will always have paper QSL cards. So let me break with you, and let me have Jim come aboard, because he's really our electronic QSL expert here, because he does a lot of it. And let me see if he has any comments for you, Gordon. Jim, KJ4WKD, could you come aboard and answer anything for Gordon?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert. We're talking to a guy who's been a ham for 62 years, and probably the reason KY6V, Gordon, doesn't do electronic or hasn't dabbled in electronic, I imagine he had all the awards that we all seek after. I imagine that he had those long before there was electronic QSLing. But okay, I gotta get him one time tonight. But yeah, I do Logbook of the World, and the nice part about that is that you can use that for your awards that come from the ARRL. And we'll talk more about that in a little while, time permitting. But you don't have to take your cards and pack them up and send them to a card counter or go to a ham fest where the card counter is has a booth or whatever. You can just, once you get enough contacts on Logbook of the World, you can get the worked all states and the DXCC, the various DXCCs, and the others that the ARRL provides, those awards, just through Logbook of the World. And that's the reason that a lot of people like it. But at the same time, everybody doesn't use Logbook of the World because you have to be a member. I believe you have to be a member. And, you know, there's so many of us that still like the paper cards. I like both. Well, I like paper cards really better. But there's a lot of convenience to electronic logging. And we'll talk about the differences just a little bit in some of the logging programs and the confirmation process with the various programs a little later, Susie. And let me just check back with Mr. KY6V and for the comments. We're taking him away from his preparations for his trip, but we'll hold on to him as long as we can. KY6V, KJ4WKD.
Thank you very much for that, Jim. KY6V here. Well, I'm not going to monopolize things. I'll leave a couple of dangling participles if I can, Susie, if you're going to get into this electronic business in a little more depth downstream. I'd be interested in knowing what the EQSL is charging for a reproduction of that card. Number two, I would be interested in knowing if the email that you receive showing this card on this 8.5 by 11 is graphic enough in full color registration and so on. If it is, I can see a very simple way to for a person to do it themselves with some of the canned programs that are out, to take that and print it into cardstock and have it without costing you anything. Susie, KY6V, and I'm going back to work. Thank you.
Well, you are most welcome, Gordon. And yes, we'll see if we can get that price for you. Yeah, I think they cost like $2 or $3 to get that QSL card, which is kind of like what the foreign stations will charge us. But I think that's what your EQSL card costs us. But I will double check that for later while Jim's doing his thing. So with that said, let's move back to ways to send our QSL cards out. And before we get to electronic QSLs, there's also one more step that we could do to make those QSL cards disappear and get into the right hands. And that has to do with the QSL manager. So what is a QSL manager? Well, you know, a lot of stations use a QSL manager, especially if mail getting to and from a country is difficult. Some DX stations use managers in the United States, and that saves us a lot of money on postage. When you're looking up a DX station, QSL information via his or her call sign on QRZ.com, you'll most likely will find whether or not the DX station uses a QSL manager. A lot of them do. The QSL manager's call sign, along with that station's information for QSL, will be provided. But remember, when you're sending along a QSL card to the QSL manager, to use the DX station's information on your QSL card and not fill out your QSL card to the manager. You do want to send the QSL card to the manager's mailing address, though. By the way, you can send a QSL card through the ARRL's outgoing bureau to the QSL manager, but in that case, you want to be sure to designate where the ARRL should mail the card. Remember, that would be the QSL manager's QTH or address. So with that said, let me open up the floor if anybody else has any comments about QSLing and QSL cards. And you could also tell us about your QSL card or your favorite QSL that you got. So anyway, let me open up to the floor for comments, and hopefully maybe somebody will come by and say hello to us. Come on aboard with your suffix only, please. Okay, they're awful quiet out there, Jim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send it back to you. This is N1SUZ sending it back to Jim, KJ4WKD.
What a cop-out, Susie. And getting in trouble, you're going to send it back to me. Okay, well, I can't get us out of trouble. We'll stir somebody up in a little while. And thanks to Gordon for coming in and his comments. And hope he'll come back when he gets away from that packing a little later. Here's something that before we move on that I really meant to mention earlier. I've got a QSL card that I received just the other day. And you talked about the format for filling out a card, the date, and you mentioned that normally when when you have the boxes pre-printed on your card, they will show it as day, month, and year. DDMMYY, okay? This card had that pre-printed on the card, but the operator who sent me the card, and it was the contact that we made on November the 1st on HF, but she filled it in as November, well, she filled it in as 11/1/11, which I would recognize immediately as 11/1/19, okay, this is 2011. But that isn't really the proper form, and it isn't the way her card was designated to be filled out. So maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, and I look at that card, I'm going to think that was maybe January the 11th, because it says day, month, and year. And she mixed up the day and month. So I don't know. You're not supposed to alter a QSL card, so I don't know how to remind myself that that's incorrect. But that's I don't need that state, so it's okay. But it came from this country. So with that, let me drop a second, and I'll move into our next topic. All righty. Now that we've figured out how to send our QSL cards, we hopefully will be getting some back. And that's the name of the game, isn't it? either, you know, they come back either directly or through the mail, or through a QSL bureau. What do we do, and Gordon touched on this, what do we do with these sometimes beautiful cards when we get them? Sometimes maybe not so beautiful. Some people are a little cheaper than others, I've noticed. Well, you can store them in a binder with transparent sleeves. Lots of hams, as Gordon said, like to display them on the wall of the shack, and that's really nice. I would, I don't do that myself yet, but I know some of us just pick out the cards that are really important to us and put them on the wall, and that's really nice. Not much about that. Storage, any way you like, on the wall, on the outside door of your shack, you know, in your hip pocket, and take them to meetings and ham fests and show them off. You know, here's Tokyo. You know, I got this the other day. But, yeah, they're prized possessions when you get those great DX contacts. So you want to keep them, and you want to hold on to them, and you want to be able to display them. So that's up to you. It's once you get it. Other than now, to get an award, you might go through the process of getting a card counter, checker, to verify your cards. So you'll need them for that purpose too. But with that, Susie, that's all I can add to that topic. I will send it back to you. This is KJ4WKD back to N1SUZ.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. This is N1SUZ, and I like the idea of displaying them on in the shack. Right now, I've got a binder that I started with some of them, but I ran out of pages, and the rest of them are stacked in a little container. But I would like to display all those, and I think WA1NXI Mike in Maine, one of our members, he displays his on the wall of his shack with clear sleeves, and they're all over the shack, and I would like to see a picture of that myself. So maybe we can get Mike to show us a picture of that and take a photograph. But I think it's great to be able to display them. Some of these cards are absolutely beautiful, and that's why I kind of like making my QSL cards personalized with a photo that I've taken of, you know, the QTH or somewhere around here, because I think other people would find that pretty interesting as well, to see what I've photographed, and that's what I enjoy too. And a special event QSL cards I really like too, because they have some really cool photographs and whatnot on them. But with that said, let me ask you, what else are those QSL cards good for? Well, let's talk awards. This is a fun subject for me because I love to hunt these DX stations and states for these awards. Not that I've got any yet, but I'm on my way. There are various organizations that distribute awards for various contacts. You've got the ARRL. You've got CQ Magazine. You've got the RSGB, which is the Radio Society of Great Britain. And QRZ.com, Fred Lloyd, who was on here for an interview a few weeks ago, he said he's considering awards as well. So which awards do you want? Well, here goes some of my favorite awards. First, there's WAS. That's Worked All States. And that award is given by the ARRL for a QSO with one person from each state. There's also the DXCC, or the DX Century Club, which is working 100 companies, 100 countries, and that's from the ARRL. You've also got the USA-CA, which is the United States of America American Counties Award, and that is from CQ Magazine, and that's for contacting 500 counties, which seems like a lot, but it really isn't if you get down to it, because, you know, different people in different states have different counties. You've also got the VUCC, which is 100 VHF or UHF QSOs. It can be either or it can be a combination of those, but you need 100 of them. And that's a new award from the ARRL. and you've also got the IOTA, I-O-T-A, which is what I'm hunting these days, which is Islands of the World. And you need 100 QSOs. And this award is from the Radio Society of Great Britain. So are you working towards any awards? I'm working towards my Work All States, and I only need to confirm 3 contacts right now. I'm waiting for those, which is South Dakota, Montana, and Arkansas. So if you guys hear me, you should send me your QSL cards now. I'm working on DXCC, and I'm about halfway with that. And I just started hunting IOTAs, which are the expeditions on islands, islands of the world. And if you're interested in learning more about IOTAs, I'm working with a member of the Radio Society of Great Britain as we speak to come aboard SouthCars and tell us all about it. So more on that in a later date. So tell me, do you like awards? Are you working towards a Work All State or Love DX contest? Let me open the floor to anyone who'd like to make a comment on chasing those awards or what they think QSL cards are good for. Please come aboard now with your suffix only, please. All right. We've got a quiet floor out there today. So I'm going to call on Jim, KJ4WKD. Maybe Jim can comment on what he is working towards, because I know that he is also working for his Work All States and his DXCC. So this is N1SUZ, and I'm throwing it back to KJ4WKD. Jim, come on aboard and tell us about the awards you're working for.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's KJ4WKD here. Right now, same as you, I'm getting a little interested in IOTAs myself because I've looked through them, all of the cards I have, and many of them are already IOTAs. So I have so many of them, I might want to go for that one. But Work All States, I am a little behind you. And I would have to say that my confirmations are a combination of Logbook of the World and the Pasteboard. But I need maybe 7 or 8. I need Alaskan. I know you've got that. I think I'd get the other. If I could get Alaskan under my belt, I'd feel a lot better. And at some point, we might want to talk about some of the qualifications for those. And I have about half the states confirmed on Logbook for the World. I'd really like to do that that way because it would be so much easier. But I will do it the other way if necessary. And DXCC, of course, I'm way away from that. But I do have about half of those or close to half of those. I know you said about half. I have maybe 40 confirmed both ways. So I have to do a combination there, too. And Logbook of the World, in that case, is behind the American states in confirming. So you have to be patient. You have to stay at it, and you have to get on the air and make contacts. I guess that's what you have to do. I'm a little lazy. Well, actually, I don't have the time to be on the air most of the time. But when there's an opportunity, I try to pick up a station here and there and add to my my confirmations and add to my log. And it's just all fun. It's just I'm not concerned about a lot of the awards so much. I don't take them to heart that much, but I really would like to have them, and it's fun to work toward them. Let me let it drop. But at this point, I guess it's time to talk about electronic QSLing that we brought up a couple of times earlier. There are a number of ways to QSL over the internet these days. For instance, EQSL, and you can go there at http://www.eqsl.net/QSLcard/index.cfm Charlie Foxtrot Mike. Then there's Logbook of the World, and of course that is at www.awrl.org, as we know, but it's / Logbook of the World, and you put dashes between those words, logbook-of-the-world. There's Ham Radio Deluxe that offers EQSLing. There's QRZ, as Susie mentioned, that Fred Lloyd, the father of QRZ, is planning to, I It sounded like he was planning to really do some awards. And it's being revamped right now. Yeah, awards plus, and that's a good way to QSL. But that's being revamped, and there'll be more features on QRZ in the future. There's the, what is it, ITER logbook for Macintosh. I'm not a Mac person, so I'm not familiar with that one. Not totally familiar with some of the others, but Mac is a little, well, I'm glad there's something for Mac. So a lot of, and there's probably some that are, we didn't cover in that list, that are available. You can do it locally on your own hard drive or have it stored on the internet and have it available to others. And the confirmation process is really the nuts and bolts of what you're looking for when you're QSLing. There are various logbooks or logging programs that you can use, but QSLing is a little different. You want confirmations to your log of the stations that you contacted. And essentially, the electronic QSLing or electronic logbooks are similar in that you're posting your log and all of the information that you put in your personal log, you're posting that online, and that is or is not available to the other station, and they would do the same, and then there would be a match-up. You would see his or hers, and he or she would see yours. And go ahead and confirm the contact that you made. Well, let me tell you what I do. But before I do that, I never know how long I'm talking here, so let me reset again. Okay. As I said before, I really like paper cards. I use all of the methods that we've covered tonight, but I also use Logbook of the World, as I said. And personally, I'm trying to get the ARRL awards with the Logbook of the World. I mentioned that. And I haven't really delved into some of the others. And I will tell you the interesting thing to me about Logbook of the World is that it's a third-party double-blind process, meaning that I can't see yours and you can't see mine. So I have to post without knowing whether you posted or not, or even whether or not you use Logbook of the World. I have to post my information and my log, and if you do the same within a, well, I don't know if there's a time limit, but if you do the same at some point, then Logbook of the World, the software that the ARRL uses, will match up our contacts, and that will be a confirmation. So that makes it a third-party double-blind process. And that is pretty foolproof. Can be no fudging, no cheating, nothing going on there. You know that you've made the contact, and that's a true verification. It's the next thing to the paper card. So, and maybe even a little more. Don't know if it's a little more secure than the paper card, but some of the others, I guess, are not quite as secure. Because you could confirm some contacts that didn't get made, I guess, and we don't want to do that. It's not a big deal, but it could be accidental. So, but Logbook of the World, I like that. I do like that process that they have. It's totally, I'd say it's foolproof. Anyway, electronic login. And we're going to, by the way, Susie, I know we've discussed this, and you're developing, I believe, or considering, and probably have under development, a another TNT in which we're going to really delve into electronic logging. So we'll save the nuts and bolts, the real ins and outs of that process for another time, and we're at the top of the hour. So with that, let me ask for any comments out there. Anyone connected who would like to comment on anything we've covered tonight, or you know your own experience and your own preferences. We'd like to hear from you. We haven't heard from you yet, so come aboard now. This is KJ4WKD assisting N1SUZ with the South Stars VIP TNT Open Forum. Floor is open. Come aboard.
This is Sierra United Zulu.
Okay. You're going to get it back anyway, Susie. I think I, as well as you, is are 0 for a bunch tonight in baseball terms. But go ahead, Susie.
Well, thank you, Jim. This is N1SUZ, and I just wanted to make a comment on electronic logging. And I use Aether Logbook for Macintosh because I am a Mac girl. And I have to say that it's one of the best programs that I've ever encountered for the Macintosh. And there's not a lot of different logging programs for the Macintosh, as most Mac people know. But what is available is generally very good. And this program is great. And I like using it. And it automatically updates my QRZ information for the stations, which is something that we have to talk about, I think, because there was a little brouhaha this past week or so with QRZ.com information with logging programs. And I know I read that on the forums a little bit, where people were not being able to get the information automatically from their logging programs. If you electronically log, generally these programs, when you enter in the person's call sign in your program and you hit return, and or you hit the QRZ.com information button, which is generally something that's on your logging program, the side of the QSO with the person's information generally pops up and fills in all the blanks according to what's on QRZ.com. But the last couple weeks, that did not happen. Let me drop it here for a second. What happened this week, this is N1SUZ, is that people did not have automatic access to QRZ.com unless you were a paid member of QRZ.com, in which case the information did appear. But Fred Lloyd, who owns QRZ.com, I guess had decided, and this is what I heard, I'm not sure, I didn't ask Fred himself, that these programs that were profiting themselves with these programs, selling of the programs, weren't paying him anything, and he decided that he would not give them free access automatically. But as a paid member, you do get that free access. You just have to be logged into QRZ.com when you try to access your information. But Aether Logbook for Macintosh, if you're a Mac person, is great. And Jim, KJ4WKD, has convinced me that Logbook of the World is also a really great program, and I'm glad that I signed up for that because it's going to make the confirmation process much easier. Although I have a ton of QSL cards, the rest of my QSLs, my QSOs, are going to go through Logbook of the World, and hopefully it'll make the process a lot easier when I have them confirmed. Although, living in Connecticut, which is what I do, it's only an hour ride to the ARRL headquarters with my packet of QSL cards. So it's not such a big deal for me as it is for other people to go up there. And generally speaking, as I had gone up there already, they will welcome you as a walk-in, and someone will go through your cards for you while you're taking the tour or hanging out in the bookstore there. But that's all I wanted to mention, Jim. And this is N1SUZ, and I will send it back to you.
Okay, Susie, thank you. KJ4WKD here. You might bring me around to the side of Mac at some point. Just a couple of comments. I think that the post that you mentioned, the brouhaha, that might have appeared on the HRD, the Ham Radio Deluxe site, their forum, and you can find a lot of things on forums, and you never know. But I will mention, and I use HRD just for the purpose of converting my files to the proper file format, so I could upload to Logbook of the World. And that's another little inconvenience of Logbook of the World. It's you have to comply with their file format before you can get it up there, and it's supposed to be another security measure. But you do have to convert your log to their file to get it there. And we talked earlier, and this things are coming to mind right now. We talked earlier about all of the expense of obtaining those rare DX cards. What I do as a general rule, now that I've made a number of contacts over, you know, my short career, if I have, and we've covered all of the methods you can use to QSL, if I have a country confirmed, and I don't see that they use Logbook of the World or whatever, if I have it confirmed, I might very well, lately I'm going to the Bureau. You know, I'll send a batch of cards in an envelope to the ARRL, and I'll wait for that confirmation to come in the mail, you know, later on, and my kids will find that mail, and maybe they'll put it in my book when it gets here. But anyway, when I want you know, a prized QSL card, that's when I'll stick $2 in an envelope and go for it. But once you've got some countries confirmed, you know, the expense goes down a little bit. And I said all of that to say that's another thing that I really like about Logbook of the World. It really takes a lot of that, not only is it convenient, it takes a lot of the expense out of the QSL process, especially with the DX stations in other parts of the world. So with that, Susie, thank you. And I will send it, well, let's open it up for another time for other stations that might be connected to join us and make their comments or talk about what they like, about the cards they use or what programs they're using, just about anything. This is the South Cards VOIP TNT Open Forum. This is KJ4WKD opening the floor for anyone. If you're RF, computer connected, smartphone, we don't care. You can come aboard now. We would love for you to. Well, I guess I'm wearing the golden sombrero. That's another baseball term, Susie. I'm going to send it back to you. KJ4WKD, back up to N1SUZ.
Well, thank you, Jim. This is N1SUZ. And I guess we'll wrap it up for tonight, Jim, because I think we covered everything from QSL A through Z. And anybody who did not listen to our session tonight should be able to find the podcast on Waveguides eventually and be able to find out all the information they need to do the QSL cards. And I think what we've decided tonight is that we still like paper cards, you and me, Jim. And electronic filing is great for some, but like getting those QSL cards in the mail. And VA3MTT, thanks for the nice comment. And enjoy your night as well. I saw a little comment in the text box from him, from Terry. So thanks, Terry. But yeah, so anybody like their QSL cards, send them out. That's what we do too. So thank you, everybody, for coming aboard tonight, which is nobody. But thank you for being here and listening, and listening to us go on and on about QSL cards. But we both like it, and we both like those awards. And I'm going to send it back to you, Jim, so maybe you can read some announcements. And then we can close the net after that. So KJ4WKD, I'm sending it back to you. This is N1SUZ, and you can read some announcements.
Okay. Thank you, Susie. We have come to that point, and I will read some announcements. And I will say that to everybody, all of our regular members who are connected, we still need some help. This organization is over 11,500 members, and by the end of the year, we'll be close to 12,000. But we can't provide quality programming without your help, and we work pretty hard to do that. We really need NCS people, administrative people, and hospitality people. So if you will, please find it in your heart to consider giving a little back to the hobby and to your organization here. If you'd like to do that, drop us an email and let us know, and we will be in touch. And if you aren't trained already for an NCS or you don't know what the other things are about, we'll bring you up to speed real quick. But our email address is voip@southcars.com. Another announcement would be about another thing we do here on South Cars VIP is something we call our outreach program, where we do training. And for this year, 2011, all of our licensing classes have been completed, but we're looking forward to doing all of them again next year, 2012. And please be aware that all of our classes are supported on our website at www.voip.southcars.com. And there you'll find study material and complete voice recordings of each class that we've done already. Our first class next year, 2012, will begin on January the 29th, and that will be our International Morse Code class. Now, whether you've never done CW at all, or you just want to hone your skills, here's a great opportunity to learn or to pick up speed and proficiency. So don't forget that one. More information will be coming down, and again, don't forget our website, because that's where you get the updates for our nets, www.voip.southcars.com. Bill, one of our great members, Bill VE3MEW in Canada. We've been following his progress with some health problems, but he is now home from the hospital, and he's had successful heart repairs, and he has a great prognosis. So, Bill, if you hear this, we were all pulling for you, and best wishes for your complete recovery. Great. Let me drop it a second, buddy. And, guess what? Happy Thanksgiving. You know, another year is winding down. Doesn't seem like it could possibly be. And Thanksgiving, that's the U.S. Thanksgiving, United States, that's next week here. The South Cars VOIP bus, though, we will continue to chug along. And we will miss, by the way, the TNT Open Forum next Thursday, and that will be Thanksgiving evening, the 24th of November, 2011. So, because it's Thanksgiving, and we don't want to inconvenience all of you guys who always help us out and come aboard and participate in our nets, we're going to just forego having a program on that evening. Okay. One other thing. Those of you who will be tuned in tomorrow, we will make a little change in our scheduling. We've had the Pacific Coast connection, which is one of our Saturday nets, and I said tomorrow. It isn't tomorrow. It's Saturday, the 19th of November. We've handled what we call our Pacific Coast connection net at 12 noon Eastern time, and our Eurasia net, and that usually comes out of Russia, at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Saturday, November the 19th, we're going to flip-flop those, and that's really due to a time change in Russia to be more convenient for those folks over there. So just be aware and keep in mind that on this Saturday, the 19th, the Eurasia connection will be first at noon, and then it will be followed by the Pacific Coast connection. Just a flip-flop there. Okay, let's talk about what's coming up. Saturday night, that will be, and we talked before about UTC time or Zulu time, as we use. That's actually Sunday. Sunday, November the 19th, which will actually be in UTC time, the 20th, or Sunday morning. So let me drop one more time. Okay. The Global Family Hour, that's a regular Saturday evening. RagChew Forum fun time that we have on Saturday nights. And Kathy and Sarah. Kathy, K6SUN, Sarah, KC4, TXG, they will be doing a Thanksgiving special. And so that'll help us prepare for the big day coming up next week here in the United States. And on Sunday, we touched on this earlier, Sunday, November the 20th, and that's 1500 Zulu, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Sunday Rag Chew. We've done that for quite a while, and it's really a fun net, and I hope you guys will join us on Sunday. But that's going to be the topic for the day is going to be the duties of an OO, and an OO is an official observer. What do they do? How do they do it, and why do they do it? I know that loads of info will be presented then. Paul, WQ1I, will be the NCS, and backed up by Mike, WA1NXI. So that's going to be a learning experience. I didn't know what an OO was until recently, so I knew they existed, but I'd forgotten about them. But got to be careful on the air. So Paul and Mike will be telling you all about that on Sunday morning. So be there at 1500 Zulu, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, November the 20th of that one. And that's all about programming for coming up in the very near future, Susie. We'll send it back to you. This is KJ4WKD.
Well, this is N1SUZ. Thank you very much, Jim, for reading all those announcements. Some great programs coming up, and I think I'm going to have to make sure I get to all of them, especially that OO program. I want to see what Mike and Paul have to say about that, and that's something I had never experienced yet and hopefully won't. And I want to wish everyone out there a happy Thanksgiving. TNT is on Thursday nights, so we will not be here on Thursday night because of Thanksgiving next week. So I just want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving, and our program will continue on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that week as well. So we've got a night off that night, but we're going to be eating lots of turkey and all sorts of side dishes as well. So let's wrap up the night here, and I want to just tell you this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcars.com website. Your net controls for the session have been N1SUZ, that's me, my name is Suzanne, and KJ4WKD, that's Jim, all the way in Greensboro, North Carolina. We're saying 73s, and we are closing this VOIP session. The SCARS server and connected repeaters are now returned to regular amateur service. Thanks for coming aboard and listening to us tonight. And any additional comments, you can always make to us at another time. This net is closed, and N1SUZ is now clear.